Right, Woody values, expectancy. Bang. So this is the next one in this series. We must be over halfway through now, I guess. It goes on to least anyway. So this is expectancy. And as with all of them, this is a process of us working out what these things are and how important they are to us. And so I'm going to do preaching on them to sort of examine the word. And then there'll be a process of, debating and stuff and saying, is this what we want to, not define us, but, give us sort of understanding of what we're about, what's important to us. And they are all on the website, I understand. So it could well be, they're nearly on the website. Well, sorry? All but one. Marvelous. There you go. Okay, so let's look at this expectancy. Okay, so. Oh.
Didn't expect that.
Very quick. Probably did. Hello, nothing happened there. Right. So we have another value, but the unexpected. Right. I can't remember what I was saying before, but anyway, let's read this. So the first bit is the value, then the second bit is the keep it there, Chris. Then it's the leaders' expectations on the leaders, and then for all of us is the final comment. So we believe God has a wonderful plan for Woody and for each person in this world. We're excited to see those plans revealed and will encourage expectation within Woody. We desire to see expectant worship, expectant prayer, and to be expectant of the work of the Holy Spirit and to grow in expectancy through hearing testimony. And we come to gatherings prepared to praise and worship. So, as leaders, we want to lead gatherings anticipating the presence and work of the Holy Spirit. And for all of us to come to gatherings with an attitude of expectancy. And we deliberately don't use services there. It's gatherings. It's when we come together. In fact, I'll cover some of this. There's a great danger in the services of really feeding into the, I can just come and sit and be, have done stuff. You know, as long as the band are doing well and the preacher can put together some preach without his phone going off and there's a bit of prayer that's tidy, then, I'll be all right. And that's the problem with the services. So there's a balance there. And this is why expectancy is a whole community, a whole faith community thing. But it's the gatherings. It's as we get together in the small groups. It's the same sense. I'll come back to some of that. That's really important. Okay? So expectancy is about faith. So this is basically a talk about faith. So I'm going to read the classic faith chapter. Okay, so this will be Hebrews 11. And because of the format of this thing, sometimes the Hebrews bit comes up the end, sometimes it doesn't. I'm not going to look at it anymore because it upsets me. So I'm going to read off this. Cooler. I'm still watching it. Right, okay, Hebrews 11. Bless your word, Father. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. he could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Absolutely crucial verse, which we'll come back to later. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. I love that. They admitted they were foreigners and strangers on earth. A different kingdom. Okay, so this talk basically is in three parts, and they can all go up together, is what is faith, individual faith, and communal faith. Okay, so the first one is, what is faith? Okay, so Hebrews 11, verse 1. Let's go back to that verse. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for. That's what started that. That's what, at the beginning of that whole passage on faith. It's confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what I want to unpack a bit. I like the way the message puts it. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. Faith is key. Faith is not the reserve of a holy few or people called into various works or whatever. Faith is absolutely crucial. It's key to the believer. It's fundamental. Everyone who is in Christ has, as they say, come to faith. They've put their faith, their trust in Christ. They believed in Christ. Yes, he is who he says he is, and they put their trust in him to save, to take their life, to be their Lord. So there's that saving faith, which beautifully is a gift of God. The whole thing is a work of grace and a gift of God. But there's that working with God, where I will take the faith that you have given me and I will put it in Christ. Beautiful mystery there. Beautiful mystery. There's another definition which I came across, which I like. When we believe the truth with enough confidence to take action, we exercise faith. I love this, because to me it sums up this thing about faith. You know, people can get very mysterious and weird about faith. Praying for God to give them more faith and internalizing it to a great extent. But what this shows is that actually faith is the exercise, it's the doing, it's the stepping out of the belief and trust. It's stepping into something. It's, I've got here, faith is the act of reaching out to God to receive, even when there is no feeling. See, faith is not based on feelings. Or whether there isn't even any logic to it. But faith is there. Faith is that which enables you to reach out. Let's have a look at some examples of faith. All right, Peter. So I've got three examples. Number one is Peter. Now, Peter heard, of course, when he was in the boat. So think Peter, boat, water, okay? So he heard the same as all the others. You know, he knew the same amount. He knew Jesus. Excuse me, when Jesus called, it was Peter that made an act of faith. You see, he acted. He didn't sit in the boat saying, oh yeah, my faith is overwhelming. My faith is overwhelming. I can see myself on the water. It's just amazing. He acted. He stepped out. He crossed the bridge between excuse me, what God was saying. You know, the understanding, the greatness of Christ. He stepped over into the reality of the water. Okay. Excuse me. Okay, let's have a look at another one. The Great Blondin. How many of you have heard of the Great Blondin? Hey! When I read this, it said Bible teachers often use this as an example. So I may get this wrong. So this guy, I don't know, about 100 years ago in America, he was a tightrope walker. And his big trick was putting a rope across Niagara Falls. Well, I presume he had people to do that. But anyway, when the rope was across Niagara Falls, he would then walk across it. Got a brave thing to do. And he would have cheering crowds there. And here's the key. He would say to the crowds, sort of on one side, so he'd be one side, he said, you know, do you think I can do it? And they'd all scream, yeah, you can do it, yes. And so he'd cross to the other side. Now, having already done it, he would say to that crowd, do you think I can do it again? He said, yes, yes. And he'd have a wheelbarrow. And he would have the wheelbarrow in front of him with a little groove in it that went on there. And he said, who would like to get in the wheelbarrow? And it was total silence. So I just thought it was a fantastic thing of just because, you know, you can see it, everything you can tell you, but fear is going to get in the way. You're not going to step out. When Jan, my wife, gives her testimony, one thing that really helped her in her coming to Christ, she understood and she'd been through, you know, people talking about all the different things about Jesus and that. And someone came up with this really simple picture. They said, well, it's like a chair. And you'll have heard this before. It's like a chair. You know, you can see, you can examine it. You can see, yeah, it's quite well built. It's all right. And that is all belief and trust, that you trust the maker and you believe it'll hold you. When you sit on it, that's the act of faith. Yeah, that's when you go from, if you like, theory to practice. You step out. And that was what actually helped her to put her faith in Christ. A similar simple one would be like an electric switch. You know, you've used it before, you know it sort of works. When you do it, when you press the switch, it's an act of faith. What I'm trying to do here is I'm almost trying to demythologize. I'm trying to sort of just show that faith is a very practical thing. It's very practical. We can get really, you know, distracted by, you know, this whole thing. Have you got enough faith or whatever, you know? Jesus said, if you've got faith like a mustard seed, the tiniest seed that they could use, really. So it wasn't really about the amount of faith. It was whether you were going to use what you had. Unbelief was the big issue that he was talking about. And that's what he was saying. You haven't got to wait till you get a whole barn of faith. Just step out on what you've got. Let me talk quickly about individual faith. So, you may think, how'd you build faith? Well, next one. How'd you build faith? There's a great clue here. There's a great clue here. Okay? Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Bottom line, through the word of God. Now this is talking, I think, particularly in the context of saving faith, you know, and it's like, you know, people must go with the message of Christ. People have to hear the message of Christ. They can believe. But faith comes from that place. Faith comes from the word of God. Faith can be built. Faith can be strengthened. Because I'm just going to read some of my notes here to keep me focused. I think too often we spend time and energy trying to increase our faith, that all internal thing, when Jesus was saying, that's not really a problem. We pray and we plead with God, begging him to give us more faith. We read about stuff. We say, oh, Lord, I want to do that. I want to do my kinds of that. Faith comes from hearing, and that by the word of God. And that's why it is so crucial to know the word of God. I know it's been said, I've only really got two sermons. Read the word of God. You know, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm probably, you know, keep in touch. Yeah, that's the whole community thing. But you can't get away from this, guys. It doesn't matter how many apps you do. It doesn't matter how many books you read. I'm really a big fan. I've had to be, really, since being a pastor, of reading good books. They really, you know, stretch you and all that. But there is no substitute. There is no substitute to getting the word of God in you. Earlier in the values, John was talking about that. It was an excellent message. About that, the need to just find ways to do that, because that is where the faith comes from. And part of that is, part of why that works is because it's continually introducing you and teaching you in the ways of God. And almost everything else is mitigating against that. Even things that can appear quite wholesome. It's the word of God. Trying to wring myself in from doing listen to John's preach on the web. But you know, that's all you can say. I mean, I've delivered my bit there, really, and I'm handing over that responsibility to you to work through. I haven't got time or whatever. The word of God. Okay, I'll do a little personal thing in that in a minute. And we can, that's how we change our unbelief into belief, into faith, through the word of God. Because, of course, the Holy Spirit takes the word. It's not just a study thing. It's the Holy Spirit taking the word that he breathed, and the same Holy Spirit working in us to receive it. Oh, that's awesome. Get back to your notes, Chris. Okay. But it's so awesome. Amen. And we're back. My phone needs to go off now to... Right. The more we expose our minds to the truth, the more we become persuaded and convinced of that truth. The more time we spend exploring the truth of the Bible, the more our minds become convinced of the truth of the Bible. The more confident we'll grow, the more we'll be convinced of the truth, the more confident we become. And then we'll find ourselves being able to step out on it, because that is the test of it. This isn't, when you get to heaven, it's not going to be a big Bible study test. It's by your works, it's by the fruits, it's by what you've done, it's by how you stepped out, it's about how you affected lives, it's about how you blessed, yeah? But you need to know the word in order to release the acts of faith. You have to act. Right, next one. It says read a word and practice it. You need to practice. That's how your faith grows. Like a muscle, isn't it? Okay, how was your week? I'm not really interested in your week. This is just so I can tell you about my week. That's what pastors do. How was your week? Oh, I haven't got time. Right. Anyway, I had a dreadful week. I've had a really bad 2 weeks. Now, I don't like using the pulpit to sort of share my deepest stuff. And I want, when you're up here, it's all about Jesus. But I have to share something, because I want to be real, and I want you to know that I'm just an ordinary bloke who happened to be called to be a pastor very reluctantly. And I am in need of your prayers, and I thank you for your prayers, because my physical health has been much better recently. But I've had a real struggle over the past 2 weeks. The weekend away was fantastic. The Woody weekend away was amazing. But I'm the sort of person that when I work towards a big project, and we were working towards that probably for about 9 months, immediately after, I'm very susceptible to the anti-climax thing. You know, I sort of dip out and I need something to do. So I took a week's leave, you know, trying to get stuff done. And I just hit this fog, this real... and I thought, oh, it's just anti-climax. It'll go, you know, so... I was sort of working through that, but it didn't. I really got into a place of depression. Now, I'm not saying those of you who get depression and any clinical stuff, I'm not saying this was like that. But for me, I just had no energy. I was really, really weird. And ironically, it didn't help when I went to see last Sunday my daughter and son-in-law who work for Going Public. Some of you were there. They did a performance about mental health, which they're taking into schools and universities and everything. It's absolutely brilliant. But actually, they do one bit at the talk at the end where they describe the symptoms of depression. And I thought, oh my gosh, I got all of that. And that didn't help. Because I was just thinking, I'm just a bit down. And then I thought, oh no. And I realized it was linked to anxiety. And I got honestly, I got in such a fog with this. And so it was at this point, even... You know, being my grandkids and gardening are the two things that really helped me. But it wasn't really working. You know, it wasn't really getting deep into my spirit. It's at these times where you have to rely on your habits. And hopefully your habits are good. Because it's at these times that if you've got bad habits, they're going to come right up front and say, where the way? So if you've got bad habits, you know, if you've got habits in your life like pornography or you're addicted to something, or you just watch rubbish tell you whatever, it's of course at these times when you're trying to find some life in your life that you will be you will succumb to that. Now, praise God, I've worked through a lot of stuff to get here, so you don't have to pray for me that I've been released from any of that. And I'm not boasting here, I'm just trying to say that this is how I coped. My good habits that I've managed over years to put in is every morning I read a psalm, whether I feel like it or not. There's a key. And that gets me back into the Word of God. And that gets me into prayer. Because the Psalms, some of the prayers in the Psalms are amazing. And when you read a Psalm, when you're depressed, and the Psalm says, where are you, God? Have you gone away? Are you going to do anything else? You know, really powerful, because that's what Psalms have. That is really cool. Because you feel, yeah, God gets this. Anyway, and the other thing that John and I have got, which took us years to establish, I'd encourage couples here to, is in the evening we read a Psalm and pray together. And that took years to get. But those two fixed points... And they gave me a stepping off point for something that I had to do one day, which was start declaring over myself stuff. And so this is a bit of a testimony now about the power of the Word. This is what I'm heading into this. Because how many of you have done Freedom in Christ? Okay, how many of you, how many of you know what Freedom in Christ is, the Freedom in Christ course? If you know what it is? Okay, I really want to encourage this among us. I did a Freedom in Christ course. It's basically where you're looking at the Word and your life, and you're sort of bringing the Word and saying, yes, that is true for me, and declaring it in the smallest nutshell that I can manage this morning. And so I had this anxiety thing going on, which was feeding the depression, so I just started to say, I have not been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of a sound mind and of love and of discipline, of power. And that's an anxiety busting one, and that was my thing in me, because I had this sort of fear. And that's where I felt. When I said it, I didn't go, oh, bang, and the circus turned up and the fireworks went off. I just had to keep doing it. And then yesterday morning, like a curtain, it lifted off me, which is just as all, because I was not able to prepare this all week. I've never known anything like it. I just could not prepare. I could not get into the Word. It was like there was a brick wall in front of me. And the reasons I'm saying this, and I don't normally go into this level of honesty with you all, I share with the elders and the trustees, but you need to realize that we're all frail. We're all frail. You know, we're all just people redeemed by the grace of God. And I have to learn those things. You know, when I'm worshiping here today, and you think, oh, he does that all the time. I don't. I come in here and I intentionally worship. And if I'm in a weird place, I get prayer. Because the word of God is true. That's the word. That's the word for me. I've been given a spirit of love and power and a sound mind, and not of cowardice and fear. And I will have to keep moving in that. But I do appreciate your prayers. To help me with this, but I say that because I want to do a plug there for Freedom in Christ, and I would encourage you to think about doing that. And if you want to do it again, talk to Anthony or Ingrid or Denise or any of the elders, particularly Marv and myself, because we want to see more of those courses going on. I'd love to see everybody go through that. Anyway, my point there is, this works. All of that was, this works. Maybe in the maybe, I don't think that's mine. Maybe God in his grace allowed me to get a bit of something to be able to encourage you that this works. This taking the word of God and applying it. Right, let's move on quickly. Communal faith. Right, now then, here's the challenge really to us as we gather together, right? So communal faith, and the next one please, which should be Mark 6. This is when he went to Nazareth and he couldn't do much, and he was a bit amazed because it was his hometown. So Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Now then, isn't that amazing? Jesus, who'd been going mad all over the place, certain verses, he healed everyone who came to him. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands. Now, I read a few commentaries on this, and some said he would not do any miracles there because he was sovereign, he could have done them, but he didn't want to encourage them in their unbelief. I'm not going to get into a big argument about the sovereignty of God. I don't think it's cut and dried as that. I honestly don't. The words there, he could not do, are quite strong. He could not do stuff there. He couldn't do miracles there. He just a few sick people and stuff. And the word amazed, also astonished, dumbfounded. I love that about Jesus. You know, he had the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit could tell him what was going on. When he saw the amount of faith, he was astonished and dumbfounded. He was like, I don't believe it's amazing. And the only other time the word is used like that of Jesus, where it was he marveled, he was astonished, is of the centurion's faith. Isn't that wonderful? The Gentile conqueror, hated one, had the faith. And Jesus says Jesus was astonished at his level of faith, and previously he'd been in his own town. Because, of course, lots of things, familiarity breeds contempt, they couldn't see him as Savior, lots and lots of things. Here's the thing. It seems that in a gathering of people, it is important to have an atmosphere of faith. Now, again, I don't want to get weird about that and go down a whole prosperity thing about worshipping faith. I want us to walk in the middle, which is we need to be expectant that God will work. We need to bring our faith. We need to bring our trust. We need to bring our belief. God wants to move among his people. He wants to move among his people. Yeah, so I'm going to sort of park the whole interesting one on the whole sovereignty and that, and I'm trying to look at this practically and as a community. And what happened in that community was their unbelief stopped them receiving. When he left, there were still sick people there who in his heart he would have wanted to heal. So the challenge to us is, as a community, I want us to be thinking how we keep pressing into that, to be a community of faith. Faith that Jesus is alive, that Jesus wants to work, that Jesus wants to heal, he wants to do all that he said to his disciples, do what you've seen me doing, you know? Okay, moving quickly on, the next verse, which we covered very briefly, you know, without faith is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists, right? So there's, this is about you commit to God, and yes, there is a God, and he is there, and you can know him through Jesus Christ. And, there's the key word, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. He rewards them. Don't get Don't get trapped in that whole reward thing. This is the good Father. This is our Father God who wants to bless you. And don't get trapped into the idea that it's rewards just for you personally, because it's not. The rewards are as we come in prayer, in faith, and pray for others. Pray that God would use us to bless others. Don't see this as like just that sort of inward-looking Christian party type thing, where it's just about us. We receive to give. We're blessed to bless. Yeah? And so part of that reward, that as we seek him together, is that he would move in our communities, move in our families, that our reward would be loved ones coming to Christ, that our reward would be to see people in heaven that at the moment don't know Jesus, that our reward would be that we're able to bless people and pray for people, that we are able to affect lives because of Christ moving through us as we act in faith. Okay, next one. These are just obviously the key elements as we come together. I won't spend any time on this. It's pretty obvious. The Word of God, worship, testimony, prayer. And they're all values. So you can go back and look them up. So when we gather, there's two things I think we need to be bringing and recognizing. And this is just what I've been saying through this talk. Expectancy. Expectancy. It's not assumption. Not presumption. It's just expecting, believing the word, believing God is good and he wants to meet with his people. He wants to bless. Despite how we may come feeling. Yesterday, well, Friday, I did not feel that God is. In fact, on Friday, I could not see how I was going to do this, to be totally honest. But God is good. And his timing is amazing. Okay, there's something about when the people of God come together and in an agreement, that expectancy. Bring that expectancy, even in your weakness, even when you're really struggling. And part of that is also the responsibility that we all bear. Remember I said at the beginning, the danger in these services is that you come thinking that I, or one of the preachers, is the massive, I hate this expression, man of God, and you know, filled with the stuff. I don't like it because it's not the servant thing, see? You know, that we got all the answers. And that's not what the church is about. The church is the gathering of all of us as we come around the table. And each one brings. Because all of you got the Holy Spirit in you. And all of you have got deposits of God's love and gifts and so on and so on. So it's that responsibility. And there's a balance there. But I want to encourage you in that. Okay? There's just a trap in this whole thing of we come to this thing with the stage and stuff. This is why I love this model, because there's no one, the cross, the Christ is at the center of that. Do you see what I'm saying? That's why it's important to gather around that. It's in the middle of us. We gather around together, equal. Okay. Right. And finally, I would just say, it's really good that we know the presence of God among us, okay? Sometimes you can just feel the presence of God, but again, don't let that be a trap. Just because you can't feel his presence doesn't mean that he's not here. That's why he said, I'm with you to the end of the age. He is here, whether you feel him or not. And that is based on his promise. And that's how we have faith to believe. I love the presence of God. Oh, more of the presence of God. That people would come in and know the presence of God. As God is in this place. But if God is not decided to put his presence among us in a felt way. Do you know what I mean? In that sense of, oh, he is still here. And it is faith that reaches out. It's the faith, you know, of the woman that reaches out to him. Okay? A few things to work through here, aren't there? We can do this together. So, summary. Read your word. Build yourself up in the faith through the word. Take risks. Step out. That's the act of faith, is stepping out, switching on the plug, sitting on the chair, praying for someone, talking about your faith, giving a testimony. What did you do on the weekend? Went to church, what was that like? Oh, I'd rather not talk about it. Tell them about Jesus. Whatever openings you get. Okay? And then, Come to live. Right, sorry, yes. Yes. So you bring that out of your life. Very good. You should do one of these. You're such an encouragement. Right. That's very good, actually. That is. I'm going to make an amendment in that. Oh, that's brilliant. Well, that's a separate preach, isn't it? Live expectantly. And bring that when we gather together. Okay?